Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I remember the workers were coming in to do work on the home, and we didn't have a television. We had the TV there, but it wasn't plugged up. And a plane just hit the tower. And I was like, what? Because it was one of those surreal moments, because we're in New Jersey, not that far from New York. I mean, it's far, but it's not that far. And I just couldn't fathom that, you know, just to hear that. And then a few minutes later to come back and hear him say another plane just hit. Now you don't know what to expect. And I think it was a Tuesday, and we were getting ready. We had to go to the complex. I remember going to the complex to talk about what was going on. And I just remember at that point they were saying there's another plane missing and it's in the air and riding across the bridge, the Ben Franklin Bridge. And just looking up in the air and not knowing what to expect. And when everything happened, it's one of those days. Like, I don't remember a whole lot about things in the past, but that day I remember specifically what I was doing, where I was going. Like, I can almost remember what I had on and just walking in the room and just mind just blown. And it's something that I would never forget.
Yeah, you got to be 25 or 26 years old anymore to remember 9/11 when it happened. My daughter was in kindergarten, and I took her to school that day. And I remember we rode bikes, and I cut my ankle on her pedal. And how they handled, with the principal telling in a bullhorn to the parents, it's a regular day. It's a regular day. Don't tell your kids anything. We're just going to go to school. It's a regular day.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't. Of course, it was
not a regular day.
It changed a lot of things. And so we remember all those that were fallen and those that continue to suffer and die because of the attacks in 9/11 to this day, and 18 years ago, as we remember 9/11 and the first responders and all the victims of those four planes that went down. We tend to focus on the towers, but not forget the Pentagon or United 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, either. And Shanksville, not very far from Philadelphia.
No, it's not. Yeah. And John, I remember after all of that, there was a talk. Like, the biggest thing was whether or not we were going to play that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a very, very sensitive subject. I remember that. And I remember the biggest thing was people say, we're not going to let anybody stop us from living our lives. But in reality, they kind of did, because I remember being at practice like maybe a couple days later, a week later, when they cleared the air ban and they allowed planes to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when planes flew over and helicopters flew over practice, everybody just, it was like a long pause, and it was like a nervous pause.
Mm-hmm.
Because it changed like our whole lives changed. And we said it was normal, but it wasn't. It's not normal. Like, some of the stuff we do at TSA now, that's not what we used to do.
Right, that was because of 9/11.
Yeah, it's changed. And so it's one of those things, man, where, like I said, I'm pretty sure everybody has a story about exactly where they were when this happened.
And again, our thoughts and our prayers as we remember as a nation and never forget 9/11. Well, the Braves are getting ready for their third game in Philadelphia as we kind of transition back into sports. The good news from last night for the Braves, even though they lost 6-5, was that Washington lost. But in this game last night, kind of a wild game, because Philadelphia tagged Max Fried for four home runs. Matter of fact, in this game, they hit five home runs.
And this one's ripped to right field. That one is a line drive homer. Three first-inning homers, and boy, they're hunting in the early portion of counts against Max Fried. It's 4-0 as Dickerson hits his 11th.
All right, so you lost last night, Chip Carey on Fox Sports South, but here's the good news. You gave up three home runs in the first inning by the guy that leads your team in victories, Hugh. On the road to Philadelphia, where Philadelphia is so amped up, Bryce Harper made one hell of a throw last night in that game. And, they played, and, you know, was Kingery made the great catch. And so defensively, Philadelphia was hitting. They were playing defense. They were getting pitching early, and you thought maybe game over. But, boy, I give the Braves credit. They battled and battled and almost pulled it out. I mean, they were giving Philadelphia everything they could handle.
Yeah, playoff baseball. That's the only thing you can think about, because you're talking about Atlanta Braves team that's in a great spot. You're talking about a Philadelphia Phillies team that's still struggling. They're fighting to stay alive in this. And Ronald Acuna almost had a great play in the outfield. We almost robbed it. Was it in park home run? Or I think it was right. What it was. They played strong. And you couldn't tell me that any other time you hit five home runs that you would lose that game when it came to Atlanta Braves. But it did. But they fought back. And, you know, you're fighting against a team that's trying to keep their playoff hopes alive as well.
Yeah, Philadelphia is two games behind the Cubs in the wild card. At the moment, the wild card standings, Washington leads. They're 2.5 games up in the wild card. And then the Cubs have the second wild card. If the playoffs ended today, the Cubs would be at D.C. in the wild card game, and the Cardinals would be here to face the Braves in the opening round. And, of course, the winner of the Cubs, D.C., would go to L.A. But the Cubs are going to be fighting for that wild card because there are four other teams that are within striking distance. The New York Mets are three behind the Cubs. They're very much alive. Arizona is 2.5 back. They're very much alive. Philadelphia, very much alive. They're two games behind the wild card. You can see the sense of urgency for Philadelphia. And Milwaukee is one game back. Last night, though, the Brewers, their hopes took a huge hit when Christian Yelich, their MVP candidate star, fouled a ball off his right kneecap and broke his kneecap, and he's out for the year. That is a tremendous bad blow for the Milwaukee Brewers at this time. That wild card, though, has made this race, you know, it's changed baseball, Hugh, when they went to the wild card. Because now, again, you have five teams fighting for that wild card, including Philadelphia. Normally, Philadelphia would, they would be about mathematically eliminated. Maybe tonight they'll be mathematically eliminated from the East. I think I'd have to go look at the numbers. But no, they're very much alive for the
playoffs. I think it's exciting for especially when you talk about down the stretch for baseball, because you have teams that, you know, they're doing everything that they can desperately to stay alive in this. I think it's great. I think it's great for the game. I think it makes for meaningful baseball down the stretch. You know, we talked about a couple of days ago how, you know, for the Braves, whether or not rest versus rust, you're playing against a team that potentially you could see again, a good team that swept you at the beginning of the season. If that's me, I want to put their playoff hopes to bed.
Yeah, I want to correct that. The Braves can mathematically eliminate the Mets tonight with a win and a Mets loss, I believe. But Philadelphia is the magic number is not the magic number would be 2, not 1. So we'll see what we've got, even with a Braves win. Actually, it's 3. We'll see what we've got here with the Braves coming up tonight. Again, a lot going on today, and we're going to get into some of the other headlines. We haven't had a chance to talk a little bit about the NFL. We already start to peak to week 2, and not just with the Falcons, but an important game for all of us to focus in, and we'll spend some time tomorrow talking about it. And the Thursday night game this week in week 2 is the Bucs and Panthers, and the impact of that game, because one of those two teams, Hugh, is going to start the season 0-2 in that game, but we'll get into that tomorrow. The other big headlines in the NFL involve one Antonio Brown again for the 18th time already, and this time the news is, it's not good. Let's put it that way. Antonio Brown has been, Hugh, accused of raping his former physical trainer.
Yes. The young lady's name is Brittany Taylor. And this is a story that's still developing. But reading some of the stuff that I've seen about this, John, it doesn't look good. And when I say that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. But the unfortunate thing for Antonio Brown is this, that he's been judged in the last couple of weeks in the court of public opinion. And the court of public opinion, as you know, a lot of times outweighs any court, any real court, because people have already drawn some conclusions about you as a person and as an individual. And I think that there's a lot of moving parts to this story, but this does not look good for Antonio Brown.
Well, Brittany Taylor was his personal trainer for a long period of time. They knew each other. When they were in college, she was a star gymnast. I mean, like NCAA champion-worthy gymnast at LSU, and she owns a gymnastics academy now. You know, again, with all this piled on top of everything else that is Antonio Brown, from, you know, forcing his way out of Pittsburgh through Helmetgate, through forcing his way out of Oakland now to New England, you know, three teams and without playing a game, and all of things that have taken part. Here comes this, you know, thrown in the lap of the Patriots. The Patriots say, you know, they're monitoring. The NFL has come out, Hugh, and said they have launched an investigation into this. I'm not sure how all this plays out in terms of, you know, now that, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe some Raiders or Steelers fans are laughing at the Patriots going, okay, now you get that distraction that is Antonio Brown.
Yeah. But I think this plays. I think this goes away. This is a civil suit, and this goes away. The unfortunate thing is this, and I know how guys think because we all kind of have the same thought process when it comes to situations like this. And I think that is we have to be careful when we do that because I know, listen, I've been through it, and I know how these things are, and I know how we think, but every situation isn't like that. And when I read these stories, and this is my personal opinion, this is not nothing that I've seen anywhere, but when I read the story and I saw the emails that he sent and, you know, just having a little background, and it's unfortunate for him, but this is how he's going to be judged. He's going to be judged by some of the actions that he's had on Twitter, whether or not it has anything to do mm-hmm. with this story directly, because that's the society that we live in. We're going to look at all the antics that you had on social media in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to apply them to what we see and what we read that you said out of your own mouth to this situation, because that's all we have. We don't know him. But you're going to look at it, and you're going to draw a conclusion about him, whether it's right or wrong. And well,
those emails are tough to read, Hugh. I mean, I read them too. You can Google search this stuff if you want to read them. I will say very, very, very not safe for work, okay? And you're prying into personal stuff, and it's, you know, it's kind of like cringeworthy things between Brittany Taylor, who is accusing, Antonio Brown of sexual assault on multiple occasions, mind you. I mean, she accuses him on multiple occasions, when she was his personal trainer. And the NFL is going to investigate, and I don't know how the Patriots now have to deal with this on top of everything else that they've had to deal with in an offseason involved, started with their owner, you know, being in trouble and through everything else they've gone through.
I will say this. The good thing about it, if there is a good thing about it, and I use that word very, very loosely, is that he's with an organization who, like you said, Robert Kraft has been through some things. And so this is something that if Antonio Brown wants it to go away, it's a civil lawsuit. So if he wants it to go away, he can make it go away immediately if he wants to. But that's the thing. Like, how is he going to handle this? Because there's two sides to every story, obviously. But I think that it's going to be hard to find impartial individuals in this case because of everything that has happened. Again, I got to say that it has nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. But because of everything that he's done over the last few weeks, it's going to be hard for people to separate the two.
Yeah, if you're sick of hearing about Antonio Brown, got bad news for you. The NFL's investigating, and we're going to hear more about this likely going forward. Falcons fans, you can tune in to 90.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane will be previewing the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, which is brewed for the Dirty Birds. Hey, what can you expect on Sunday night as a fan experience if you're going to the game? We're going to talk about the Falcons and what they have planned for the opening game. No, not the discussion we've had about whether or not you're going to be in your seats at opening kickoff, but about what the Falcons have planned for you as a fan experience at the game on Sunday night. We'll do that next after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. Hope you're having a safe drive in on another ridiculously hot day in Atlanta. It is September the 11th, as we said at the top of the hour, but it's also really hot for this time of the year. Man, it's going to be 95, 96. I know that we had bad storms in the area last night. I saw some pictures. It didn't hit me. If it did affect you, I feel you. It is going to be a hot week, too, as we get ready for the Braves and Phillies tonight with Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Braves trying to start to salt away this division 9.5 up. We mentioned that. Falcons get ready for Sunday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United for Saturday night and their return to MLS action against Columbus. And then, of course, the game on Sunday night with the Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles, which has been a big talk about this morning. And a lot of talk on our Twitter, you at 929 The Game, and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line about the fans and about, you know, let me ask you this. Do fans have a responsibility at large to the team? Do you think that that's the case?
What do you mean by that?
Well,
John?
I mean, if the fans don't, you know, if the fans don't show up on time and they're not in their seats.
I think it's different for every city.
Right.
I think that is something that when you talk about some of these legacy teams that have had, you know, fan bases that have been entrenched and had season ticket holders and their family for eons. I think that's different there because it's ingrained in these individuals to go to the games and do this, that, and the third. Like, say, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Chicago, places like that. Atlanta's a transient city. And to that point, what Kimberly brought up this morning, Atlanta United is a soccer team that is everybody's team. A lot of people didn't have a soccer team that they followed. That is probably one of the reasons why they've had so much success, on top of being a really good team and being successful and winning a trophy, and on top of the tickets being a lot cheaper. But with Atlanta being a transient city like it is, a lot of people come down here with loyalties to other teams. And even though their kids and stuff grew up here, it's entrenched in them to make their kids loyal to the teams that their parents followed or vice versa. It's like a legacy thing. And that's part of the problem. Now, I know a lot of diehard Atlanta Falcons fans, and most of them are from here. Most of them are from here. And most of them do live in the inner city. And most of them are down there at the tailgate. They're there. But they don't go in the game because they don't have a ticket. But they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they represent their team. So I think that when Atlanta fans get a bad rep, it's because you're judging the fan base by the people that are in the building. Now, some of those people in the building, like my man Chuckie like to say, they're the haves. A lot of the have-nots are there at the game. They're just in the parking lot, and they're doing it a different way. They're still supporting their team, but they're doing it in a different way. So that's what it is, and I think that's what people need to realize. And, you know, I understand that, you know, it's cheaper. Atlanta United tickets are cheaper and all this other stuff, but there are a lot of diehard Atlanta Falcons fans in this city. I've met a lot of them. I've hung out with a lot of them. So they get a bad rap. They do what they can to support their team.
It's going to be a big game on Sunday night with the Philadelphia Eagles and opening night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, you know, I can only judge it on, you know, Lambeau Field, the last place I went, which is a football stadium. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a social, environmentally sustainable.
And they got
the
free soda all day. You get one, you buy a cup, you can drink soda all day as long as your cup does not get too wet and it can hold the tasty beverage. It's an awesome time.
Yeah, Morgan Shaw Parker is joining us. She's the Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for AMB. And Morgan, first off, nice to see you. Welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, do me a favor. Get close to that microphone as real. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can lean into that thing.
Hi, guys.
What's going on?
What's going on? Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for coming down.
Yeah,
I know it's kind of tough coming from Flowery Branch this early in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. It's awesome, though. It's what we love about Atlanta.
Well, that $17 you get at the Peach Pass Lane or whatever it is. Opening night, you're here to talk about opening night, what the fans can expect, and some of the new things that are going on.
Really, Abe? I mean,
we can hear that.
We can hear that. Probably got to put some oil on that thing a little bit, don't you?
He was just moving the microphone for Morgan. Anyway, talk to us, Morgan, a little bit about some of the things that are going to be kind of new experiences for the fans this year.
Well, we're really excited about what's happening in this market and what's happening around the game day experience. So, you know, when Arthur bought this team and took over the Falcons 18 years ago, he brought with him the core values and the promise to the city that he was going to bring a championship team to the field, but he was also going to bring a championship team to the community. And that's a really big deal because, you know, we've invested in making sure that we're listening and responding to our fans. And so we've done a lot of research. We've been out in the market. We've been in other markets as well. And we've been listening to our fans. And they've said that they can't really feel the Falcons in the city. So we've got a lot of really cool things coming up, a huge amount of investment in the city and a huge amount of investment coming around the game day experience, too. So across digital, in-market, retail, and in-stadium, we've got a long-term approach just starting now. We've basically built the Ferrari, and we're still learning how to drive it. And so, you know, we've got this beautiful stadium, and that game day experience is going to come to life in a really unique way. So we've got in market, we've got a kickoff rally coming up Friday, 7-9.
Atlantic Station.
You guys have been talking about that.
Always a great time down there.
So last year was the first time that we did that. And, you know, when I came here 3.5 years ago, I had heard some rumblings. We don't know if fans are going to come out on a Friday night. And I said, what? How could that possibly be? Well, with very little planning, we got 6,000 people to show up last year on Friday night before our home opener. It was amazing. So we're going to do that again this year at Atlantic Station. We've got a fully programmed experience. We've got legends. We've got all kinds of exciting things. We've got a performance coming up with Bone Crusher as well. So that'll be cool.
That's
bringing
be
back the Dirty Bird. Fireworks. It's going to be a great experience.
I got to tell you, when you said you're bringing back, when you bring your Bone Crusher, I got goosebumps a little bit. I got goosebumps a little bit. And I'm looking at this, the train horn outside. What is that? Gets fans in the building and to their seats? What
so
is that?
You guys know we've got a train horn inside, obviously very symbolic of the city and the terminus nature of how this city was built. And so now we've got train horns outside that are actually going to signal fans from gates open to 90 to 60 to 30 to kickoff. And so fans are going to know when the excitement's starting in the stadium and when to get in their seats.
Oh, so that means, so in order to get people in their seats, you're going to give them, like,
an
triggers.
Going to give you notice.
You're going to get triggers. Like, hey, 10 minutes before
exactly.
the game starts. So, people, are you listening? Because it's important that you get in the game on time. Because we need that energy. We need all that energy in the stadium this weekend.
Think of it as the blinking lights at the symphony, right?
Exactly.
Just loud and in your face.
Just loud. No, well, you've got to be in your seats at least 30 minutes prior to kick, because we've revamped the entire pregame show. We're basically going from a bit of a disconnected content experience to a fully programmed theatrical experience on the halo board and on the field. It's going to be amazing.
Am I? It sounds like you're kind of saying to me, and you're in a professional way, you're saying concert a little bit. It sounds like a little bit of a concerty feel.
It's an experience. It's not exactly a concert, but it's a full experience. And that's Arthur's promise. At the end of the day, part of his core values are listen and respond, innovate continuously. So you guys have been talking all morning about this sense of urgency from our fan base. Mm-hmm. We've got that too, and you're going to feel that in our market, and you're going to feel that around our stadium, and you're going to feel that in the stadium.
Morgan Shaw Parker is Vice President of Marketing, Chief Marketing Officer for AMB. You talk about outside elements. You have the Terrapin Tailgate, which is an all-inclusive tailgate. Home Depot Backyard Tailgate Experience for the Falcons sold out for this year. Mm-hmm. That's going to be jumping. The AmFam Village for kids and families. Everything that's starting to go in. The stadium was one thing, Morgan. Now we're getting all those things attended to the stadium outside, right?
Yep. So one of the things, too, is you'll start to feel the cast come alive. So you guys have talked a lot about our supporters group. So, football is not like soccer. There's not that inherent supporters group nature from a sport that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. But we've got this amazing group called the Cast and other fan groups that have been around for a long, long time. The Cast started as 30 members a couple of years ago with a sole mission of bringing the energy to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And now they're over 1,500 strong, and it's an independent group that's actually bringing that energy. So they've got a tailgate spot. They're going to do a bird walk into the stadium. So that's one of the elements that'll be new as well. So you absolutely mentioned it. AmFam Village, Home Depot Backyard, fully programmed experience outside, but you're also going to start to feel it in the market too. So you've got the kickoff rally, but you've also got things like retail collections, things that you haven't seen before, just your basic fan gear that's been out there. You're going to start to see more stuff that you can get a hold of. Our fans have told us they just can't feel it in the market. You don't see flags. You don't see signage. You don't feel that energy. So you're going to start to feel a lot more from us in the market these days.
Got to say, the Dion video is great. You had that hype video that came out on the app the other day. By the way, the new app is great too.
Well, that's going to be one way that if you're not in the stadium, we have a brand new app that is fully programmed with 24/7 news content, objective analysis, and things like the Dion video. It's just fun. Football is meant to be fun. We want to get fans excited and hyped up and ready to go run through a wall. They're our home field advantage, whether they're sitting in the stadium or they're at home.
I think we're all excited for Sunday night. Now let's see if we can't get that energy and get us a win, Morgan.
I'm ready.
I'm ready,
let's
too.
Go.
It's
going to
be a great time. And that soda, getting at a dollar. Was this dollar? There's still a dollar hot dog. I know it's not going to change.
$1.50.
I know it's not going to change, but I get excited when I hear that and the soda. So it's a good time.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a great
time. Come on
time.
Out. It's Sunday night, like Carrie Underwood says.
Morgan Shaw Parker, you're always welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for dropping by. It is Falcons game week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, we get lost in the Falcons and the Braves and Antonio Brown and all the other stories that are going on, which means we miss stuff, which is why we have Tanitra to bring the tea in her sweet tea segment. That's next with John and Hugh on this Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. and 92.9thegame.com.
Out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Sinitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we get lost in all of our big stories, as we always say, and then here's Sinitra to kind of pick up all that stuff that we, you know, all right, we missed this one, we missed that one. That's why we bring her in.
All right. So, Miss Universe. If only John Golf was this easy for everyone, the current Miss Universe Canada, Sarah Winter, took to Instagram to show off her skills on the golf course from this past weekend. Not just any type of basic skills, though. Skills that get you a hole-in-one or two. Now, most golfers don't get a hole-in-one in a lifetime. And I don't know, John, I know you're an avid golfer. Have you ever?
No, I've never had a hole-in-one.
Have you lucked out on one?
I don't. I'm not a golf.
Putt-putt does not count, especially when you think about what Winter was able to do twice in one weekend. But to her credit, she is not the average beauty pageant contestant. She actually is currently pursuing a career in golf. And aside from that, Sarah Winter has played volleyball. She's played softball, field hockey, ice skating, skiing, and track and field. So she is quite the
athlete. She's an accomplished athlete.
Yes.
She's got a lot going on.
Yes, very much so.
Wait, her name is Winter and she's from Canada?
Yeah. You like that? Yeah, cool stuff. So I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this story. I know you guys touched on it in passing when you talked about college football earlier this week. But going back to Florida State tight end Trey McKitty, who went viral on Saturday after he lined up facing the wrong way, right, in their overtime victory against Louisiana Monroe. Now, we know why he did that. According to him, we now know. He says he did it on purpose. According to what he told The Athletic, the offensive line messed up. Then we had to hurry up and get set so the defense couldn't see our formation before the play. So there's nothing wrong with me. I don't line up the wrong way, and I didn't on accident. And then the offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, came back to say it was a stopping situation where you cannot tempo. So we came off the sideline, and it's a thing that we do offensively. Thing that we do, okay. The guys can line up wherever they want. I don't care. Just get to your spot where you need to get to. Now, it did technically work because they did get a first down. They got their 11 yards. McKitty backed up. His OC backed him up, and, of course, they won the game. And you guys know I covered Willie Taggart in Tampa, so I got love for the coach. But doesn't that play just kind of sum up where Florida State football is these days?
See, if that wouldn't have been positive yards or they would have lost that game, then that's all we would have been talking about all week long.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's still, if Willie Taggart doesn't turn it around, we'll define Willie. You betcha. It'll always be there. They'll just say, Willie Taggart, and then they'll show that. You know, even though it's not obviously his fault here, but again, as you said, I mean, the fire that's going on there, there are a lot of fans who want in Tennessee Phil Fulmer to come down from the 80s office and become the coach. There are fans of Florida State that want Kendall Briles, you know, because of even though his dad got in a lot of trouble at Baylor, he's supposedly an offensive genius here to take over. Yeah, no, Florida State's in, and Willie's under a lot of pressure, I know.
Yeah, poor Coach Willie T. But I thought, wow, that is so indicative of the state of Florida State football right now. So you guys will love this. A guy claims that his wife stabbed him with a butcher knife for watching too much Nationals baseball. So, of course, we know that sometimes it's hard on spouses when you don't want to watch whatever your significant other wants to watch. So this fan called into 106.7 The Fan earlier this week and explained that watching a Nats game almost cost him his life. Allegedly, he called from his hospital bed claiming that his wife of 38 years stabbed him for watching the Nats too frequently. He said he was watching it. She came home from one of the local bars, was kind of drunk. She started screaming at him, things erupted, and she got a butcher knife and said she did it because he was watching too much ball. But he did later on admit that, they kind of sort of have been in divorce proceedings for a while anyway.
No, you know what happened? She was talking to him. He's watching the game, ignoring her.
And she already got a little oil
in the system. She got mad, and she stabbed me, bottom line. Because the one thing that I know about women, because I've got punched a lot for this. Don't ignore somebody when they're talking to you, especially when you're being yelled at.
Yes.
The worst thing you can do to a woman is ignore her when she's hot at you and act like you don't care.
Yes.
because you will get punched, stabbed, or shot at.
Yeah, it's not a story we normally hear, because when you normally hear about Nats fans, they're usually poking their own eyes out. With
right. That, you know. For another season gone wrong, when they had all the potential to do what they were supposed to do and right. then don't do it right. Well, they better get ready in a couple weeks to start gouging eyes again, because we got this.
I
ain't worried about us.
No. I'm not talking about the East, but if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, they could.
And with Max Scherzer, you know, it's not out of the question the Braves and Nats could meet for the NLCS.
Oh, absolutely, but I still love our chances.
Yeah.
I mean,
the way that they're playing right now.
I love our chances. So they might, like you said, John, get to the playoffs, but you know what? There might still be some eye gouging at the end of the day. So I thought this was a cool way to kind of end it, kind of fun. Something special that's going on for the next week and a half. You probably don't even realize it's happening, but it's Palindrome Week.
Palindrome. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Yes. So as you may or may not know, it is a word, a phrase, or a sequence of numbers that reads the same, whether you read it forward, you read it backwards. Mom, taco, cat, and go for it, John. Give it to us one more time.
A man, a plan, a canal, Panama is the same.
Literally.
Zero res is the same forwards and backwards.
And as Abe chimed in, race car. Thank you, producer Abe. So this entire week, the dates are palindromes. So 91019 yesterday. So today, 91119, 91119. So it just kind of goes
it.
On.
I get it.
Yes.
Get it.
You get the picture? Yeah. I know you guys are like that.
It's like mom.
Mom.
Oh my gosh, I got one.
Or taco cat. And Oren is like this really like music savant. So I don't know, Oren, if you even know what taco cat is.
Is that the cat that was? No, that's keyboard cat. I'm sorry.
Wrong. Shockingly, I have shocked. Oh my gosh, I have one-upped Oren. It is an indie grunge band out of Seattle that started back in 2007.
Taco Cat.
So Taco Cat is a real thing, albeit a name of a band, but I mean, it does exist. So this has actually been a phenomenon since 2011. But guess what? This week is the last week we are going to see it this entire century. So you better enjoy it.
Palindrome.
I have taught all of our listeners something new.
Wait, wouldn't February 11th next year be a 02-11-20?
11-20. But it's not a week, so it may be a day. There will be palindrome days here and there, but this is the last palindrome week for the rest of the
year. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
The whole week is
the
a palindrome.
The whole week is a palindrome for us. You got it.
I
yes,
get
sir.
You.
Yay!
And Tanitra bringing the sweet tea as
and making people
does.
Smarter, right, John?
Yes. Well,
relatively speaking,
one
show at a time.
Thanks. We appreciate that, Tanitra. Of course, as we again with the stuff that we miss, you know, I didn't. Who knew it was? And why is a palindrome spelled the same for and backwards? I mean, you would think that. Never mind. We got a lot of college football coming up around the corner. A big week ahead, as we all know, because UGA. Well, okay. Look, we're starting to peek around the corner, but they're not. But we are starting to peek around the corner, and there's some news coming out of UGA about changes to Sanford Stadium for the Notre Dame game that we're going to get into in a couple of minutes. But, you know, hopefully, Hugh, we got big weekends coming up. Georgia Tech could go on a win streak. Georgia State could continue its win streak. Georgia continue. I mean,
and the game is on television. It's on
Georgia
Fox.
Tech, yeah.
Yeah, Georgia Tech game is on Fox. So I'm stoked about that. Get a chance to actually watch them on television and not on the ACC network. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a case where, you know, the ACC network picks up a game or Fox picks up a game. And again, if you don't have the ACC network and you got to check on it, they'll work this out.
I'm not getting the ACC network. I'm not buying that. And I'm not going over Abe's house to watch it on his palatial TV satellite dilly. Yeah, he got like 4,500 TVs.
What do you have? You have four, right? Is that right? Four TVs and your laptop? So you're... Three laptops. Okay.
He got that thing working over there.
What's your internet?
Which one of them is a gamer laptop? One of them has to be a gamer. Yeah, I knew he had one. He has a gamer laptop, too.
What is Georgia doing for the stadium, for Sanford Stadium, for the Notre Dame game? They're changing it. We'll tell you what they're doing as we look ahead to college football this weekend. Peek around the corner next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.